praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. How you all doing today? Good? Good. We're going to go into some prayers. We're going to pray. Amen. One of the benefits of a church as a community is that you get to get people who can pray with you and pray for you. If you're here tonight and you have some things you're dealing with, or you have some things you want people to agree with you in prayers for, there is no need for you to suffer alone. Let me share with you a few passages of scripture, maybe one passage of scripture. When I say a few, then I've started preaching. Let me share with you one passage of scripture, actually two. James chapter 5, then we're going to pray. James chapter 5, it says that, verse 13, it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. So when we're cheerful, we sing. When we are suffering or in pain, we pray. I know you can confess that you're not suffering, but you are going through some stuff. So, you know, there's something wrong. There's something that is not yet in place that is suffering. It's exerting pressure on you. That's suffering. Is anyone among you? Did you say that was in the Bible? It was one of the apostles. In fact, this particular apostle was the brother of Jesus, the biological brother, the younger brother of Jesus. He says to the church, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. I know some of you, you confess positive so much that you cannot say there is suffering. I'll teach one day on this positive confession. Amen. There's a difference between agreeing with something and stating it. You can state the obvious, and then you state the truth that is bigger than the obvious. Let the weak say, I am strong. So if you're not weak, that is not for you. So if you're weak, it is the obvious, you're weak. But then you state from the place of weakness, you state the strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. His grace is sufficient for my weakness. When I am weak, then I am strong. Because why? His grace is at work for me. Hallelujah. So it says, is anyone suffering among you? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, and I want you to see this, because it's not about the anointing with oil. Can somebody reduce a little bit of the echo, the effect on the highs? Just take down the highs a little bit on my mic. Somebody who knows what they're doing. Thank you. Let me qualify that. But verse 15 says this, and the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. So it is the prayer of faith. Verse 15. Idiot him, walk with me. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Media team, are you awake? Okay, let us pray for the media team. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. What will save? The prayer of faith. Not the oil. The oil is an action of faith. But the prayer of faith will save the sick. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Let me read a little bit more. Verse 16. It says, confess your trespasses once to another. Confess your trespasses once to another. And pray for one another that you may be healed. Let me explain this passage of scripture to you a little bit. You know, I have a Roman Catholic background. I grew up Catholicism. And there's part we call confession. And this, I believe that it originates from here, except that it just looks like that you go confess to the Reverend Father. But it says, confess your sins one to another. And this confession here is not going to tell what you've done wrong. If you actually read in the original Greek version, it talks about your limitations with one another. Talk about your weaknesses with one another. It talks about the issue of opening up to being able to talk. Don't close up and die alone. Because why? What is the purpose here? And I want you to see, because the context of a passage helps explain that passage. We're not bluffing. We're talking to you about scripture. Because scripture helps to explain itself. It says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another. So the purpose of the confession here is so that it may lead to prayers. So this is talking about, talk about your limitations, your shortcomings with one another. And then pray. It's not gossip. It's not going to go lump it on somebody and say, this is it. Then you lump it and you leave them. You know, some people who are complainers. There's a difference between confessing and complaining. I can come and complain to you. Then when I leave, you carry all my burden and I'm gone. And you're there struggling with it. He says, confess and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. Then it says this, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I can leave it there, but to give an example of Elijah, but let's leave it there. So I want us to pray. I want us to pray. I said I was going to give two scriptures. Give the second one. I could give three. I could give a lot. Acts chapter 12. We could also see the same thing in Acts chapter 4. But Acts chapter 12, beginning from verse number 1, it says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. To harass some from where? From the church. Not from the world. Not people who were in the club. Or this, from the church. He stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. So as we pray tonight, anything that is harassing you, we will harass it in the name of Jesus. Amen. He says, then he, Herod, as he began to harass, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. The weapon was used. And the form of killing was mentioned. He killed him. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. So the devil never stops. Oh, he doesn't stop. If you thought that the day you gave your life to Christ, you were exempted. Part of it is that you gave your life. You did not receive his life. You know, you receive life. You don't just give, you take, it says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Take my burden, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of the unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. Verse number 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. You can read the rest to see what the results were. If two shall agree as touching anything on the earth, it shall be done by the Father who is in heaven. If you agree as touching anything here in Tulsa, it will not be done in Tulsa, it will be done in heaven. The results will be in Tulsa, but it will be done in heaven. So if you're here today and you have a prayer need, or you're maybe watching online and you have a prayer need in your life, you want the church to agree with you, you want us to stand in agreement with you, or I learned it was not, it's not agreement, it's agreement with you, then we shall do that. Amen. Anyone has a need, just lift up your hand wherever you are. And please, if your hand is not up, just turn around and look. If you see any hand up, there are some hands that are lifted too. Those hands are lifted up there too, because it says that prayer that is desperate. Church, we're a community. If you see any hand that is lifted up around you, walk over to them and lay your hands on them. That hand lifted up is a hand calling for help. It says, anyone suffering, let him pray. Let him call upon the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. There are hands lifted up all over the congregation. Walk over to somebody. Lay your hands on them. And believe God for them for miracles. Shabbat. Come on, somebody. Let's lift up our voices and begin to call to heaven. Lord, we pray tonight as a church, as a congregation. We begin to pray for our brothers, our sisters. We believe with them for miracles. We believe with them for signs, for wonders. Lord God, the reason for which their hands are lifted up, Lord, we ask that you strengthen your hands upon them to heal, to deliver, to set free. That every need that is lifted up to you, oh God, the purpose for which, Lord God, we are praying with them. Lord God, you, the God of heaven, you know. And Father, we pray, we started, Lord God, in one accord with them, touching and agreeing concerning the matters that concerns them, Father. La rabande ishede beheta, li pregete le ketabare le zita, mantabara gadibara le bedeya baha. That Lord, these hands that are lifted up to you, lifted up to you, oh God, in prayers. Lifted up to you, oh God, in prayers. Lord, they will go down with answers, not in defeat, not in shame, not in regret or rejection, but with answers. Let all ansia, mantele prege sabahata, la praga de gereya bahata, banana baba baba shada. We believe for miracles. We believe for miracles because you are the way maker. You are the promise keeper. You are the miracle worker. You are the light in the darkness. Shalera lira bande manse brekete bere abaha ribodo yobosa matala rabakata baba baba shada. Oh God, we believe. Oh God, we believe for miracles, 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 signs and wonders, provision, supply. Sabare, lebreke, mantalabra, ira bagarea, shabarare, rabababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababab today. We call on heaven. Oh God, we call on heaven. Let the throne room of heaven, Legata, Subrakeda, we lift up our brethren to you. We lift up their request to you. We lift up their request to you, oh God. We ask that you strengthen your hands from heaven. Make supplies abound. Make provision abound. Let there be answer to the prayers. In the name of Jesus, every evil weapon of the wicked, form against them, form against our members, form against our church, they shall not prosper. In the name of Jesus, oh, Lebrehita, we thank you, Father. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, you all are too quiet. Hold on, I'm going to tell you something. Listen. 1 John 5:14. Hear what 1 John 5:14 says. I'm going to give you scriptures tonight. This is part of the service. This is, we could do this and end. It says, 1 John 5:14 says, this is the assurance that now, when church shall be together, you are not in the mortuary. It is not too cold in here. So we're going to speak, okay? What did you say, Lily? Okay, good. With boldness and confidence. Somebody say now. This is the confidence that we have in him. That we have when in ourselves? No, in him. Why? That if we ask anything. Hold on. If we ask what kind of things? Hey, did you just pray for anything? The needs were diverse. The people were different. And so whatever category that prayer fell into, it falls in the category of any. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So some people have problem with this one where it says according to his will. So that's where some people are like, well, Pastor, I don't know if it's according to his will. Hey, First of all, I don't want to start teaching on according to his will to you. What is the will of God for you? That John verse 2. Please put it up. We're gonna do. I want you to, because this is part of service. We're already in service. 3 John verse 2. May let him walk with me. And we're going to come back to this. He said, beloved, I pray. I put it in the regular King James. Okay, no, just leave it here. This is good. First, the question is, are you beloved? Oh, Pastor, I don't know what I am. I am beloved. He said, beloved, I pray. That is the prayer of God for you in his word. He said, I pray that you may prosper in all. No, it says, so maybe your Bible says some things. Mine says, in all things. And be in health, just as your soul prospers in all things. The regular King James says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Let's go back. 1 John 5:14. This is the confident assurance that we have in him. The reason I'm taking this time to do this is that I want that when you're sitting up, when you finish praying, you didn't pray like somebody. You prayed well. You prayed with passion. The fervent and the effective prayers of the righteous avails much, right? That's what it says. Fervent and effective. You prayed with ferventness. I don't know about the effectiveness, but when you were done praying, you just went quietly. It's just like, oh, we are yet to receive. And this, it says, and this is the confidence. Just put it in the New King James. Because it says it starts with now. That this is the confidence that we have in him. He said, now this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his word, according to his will, he hears us. And verse number 15. And if we only know. That he hears us. What's the condition? If we know. If he has heard. If by mistake, the prayers that you made tonight got to his ear by mistake. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we also know that because he has heard it, we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Hey. That's a good place to shout. But don't shout yet. No, don't shout yet. Let me give you another one. So when you can join all your shout and shout together. Ephesians 3:20. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you. Shabahata. Ephesians 3:20 says, see how all of them start. It starts with what? Now. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Now, if you know English, that is already wrong. The rules of English, but the rules of heavenly is correct. Because English cannot express heavenly, so they have to use multiple amplifiers to be able to amplify. What he's able to do. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask. So somebody said, Pastor, I didn't ask everything. No, don't worry, we got you covered. Above all that we ask or think. So if you didn't ask, you thought about it. He said, Pastor, well, I didn't pray. I didn't lift up my hands when they were praying. If you thought about it when we were praying. He said, Pastor, I should have lifted up my hands, but I forgot. He says, above all that we ask or think, according to what? His power that is at work in us. Not according to our power. Not because we can pray too good or we have too much power to answer prayers. But according to his power that is at work in us. Unto him be glory in the church. Verse 21. to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all. No, this was not to the generation past. To all generations. Forever and ever. Somebody shout a believing amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Our God is good. And all the time. There is a strong unction in this place for answer prayers. A strong unction. So just in case you're like, oh pastor, I didn't get to pray for my needs and I didn't get to pray. At the end of service, you can just look for somebody and say, please agree with me concerning this matter. Okay? Are you hearing me, somebody? Don't fail to take advantage of the things, the resources that are concerning you. Imagine somebody goes to the hospital. You go to see a doctor. This doctor is a specialist in anything and everything you're dealing with. You go to see them. And then you, let's just use a dermatologist, for instance. You have some acne on your face. On one part of your face. Then you when you got there, you forgot that, or you have it not just on your face, you have it. The one that is very evident is the one that's on your face. And that's the one you remembered. Now you go to see the dermatologist, you just tell them about the one on your face and remain there. Oh no. You will also show them every other thing that has to do with dermatological procedures. Mm-hmm. That's what's called consultation. And you're not paying extra for the checkup. It's all in one. Because you have an appointment, you have your time. Then they address it all comprehensively. Amen. What happened was that you took advantage of the resources that you were exposed to. Some people come to church, but they don't know how to take advantage of the resources, the place that they go to. And upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. Amen. The children of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Hallelujah. Amen. So welcome to church. And tonight we're going to talk about the benefits of community. On Sunday we talked about the church as a community. So tonight we're going to talk about the benefits of community. If the church is a community, what are the benefits of that community? The community of believers. The church as a community. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter number 4, verse number 23. Acts chapter 4, verse number 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And being let go, they went to their own companions. Of course, you know that that doesn't give you context, right? But we're going to begin from there, and then we'll go back a little bit to context. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We ask that you flood our eyes with light. Teach us, for your word is true, your word is yea, your word is amen. Help us, O God, to glean wondrous things out of your word tonight. Amen. Amen. So, I'm being let go. Where were they let go from? And who are they? Who are they? Church as a community. Acts, that's in Acts chapter 4, verse number 13. Acts chapter 4, verse number 13. It says, now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. So now we're beginning to identify the people, some of the people who were let go. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. So the people whom they saw were, one, uneducated and untrained. So those people had limitations. When the Bible says, confess your trespasses to one another, it means, bro, you know, this thing I'm about to face, I don't have what it takes to face it. The people I'm invited to go speak to, some of them are too educated for my level. I don't know if the grammar that I speak is good enough. Or some of these people, their accent and their articulations is better than the one I can pronounce. So pray for me that God will give me utterance, that they will hear beyond what I say. That's confess. We'll just talk about trespasses. I know what my limitations are. Are you hearing me, somebody? Yes, now, when they saw the boldness of Peter, so what they saw was boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. That they had been with Jesus. I want to show you something here from this passage, because what Jesus calls us to, he calls us to community. Jesus said, I am building my church. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So Jesus is building his church on the earth. Praise God. He's building his church. And sometimes we're like, well, I love Jesus. I don't want to deal with people. They marveled because they realized they had been with Jesus. So they had been with Jesus and they were marveled. It would seem as if that was enough. They realized they had been with Jesus. So even those who were testing them, those who were trying them, those who were persecuting them, realized the presence and the impact of Jesus in the lives of the believers. Verse number 14. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, so now the council was the one who was examining them. There was a whole big council made up of the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. These were the upper echelons, the educated folks, the PhDs of their day. Those who, they were the religious leaders. They were the people who had knowledge in abundance. They were religious authorities. They were the authorities of the people, the cultural leaders. They formed together to call what they call the council. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Hallelujah. I pray for you that what God does in your life this year, what God does in your life this quarter, that it will be undeniable. Even to the harshest critics, God will so confound and decombobitalize your critics in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for you that God himself will so do wonders in your life that critics will not be able to gainsay. Those who look for something to talk against, they will not be able to find it. Amen. That when they even find your limitations and shortcomings, they will also see that even that itself cannot hold you down. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So they said, what shall we do? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot. Imagine what the critics are saying. We cannot deny it. And I pray for your life. I pray for you that nobody will be able to deny what God is doing in your life this year. Amen. They'll be startled. They will marvel. They will wonder, because you are a wonder. Because you are a product of prophecy. In the name of Jesus Christ. So, because they could not deny it, they decided that let them try to intimidate them. So they said this, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So They said we cannot deny the results that has already been achieved. But what we can do is cap their potentials. What we can do is threaten them, silence their voice to not say the only thing that is able to bring answer for them. For there is no other name given among men that men may be saved, but that name Jesus. So what we can do is let's silence the name Jesus from their lips. Then salvation becomes limited. The only thing they can explain or the only thing they can talk about or celebrate is what happened in the past. The future will be limited. So it's pressed no further. They severely said, let us severely warn them and threaten them. Verse number 18. So they called them and commanded them. They didn't suggest. This was not a suggestion. Commanded them. Media team, take it easy. They commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Let's go. But Peter and John answered and said to them, I pray for boldness upon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey. Some of you don't want boldness. You see, this is the thing, huh? A lot of you just learn to keep your mouth shut. When the devil speaks, you better speak louder. The Bible says they commanded them not to speak. Some of you that just keep quiet, okay, now in my heart I will speak. No, the Bible says, but Peter and John answered, they responded. Even with their limitation, their lack of training, and their inadequacies, they gave a response. They said, you will not have the last word. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to listen to God, you judge. We are not the ones to say whether it is right. You just decide what is right for you. So our response to you is that we are not going to let you have the last word. We want to have the last word. The last word is not to say that we will not speak, nor to say that we will speak. But we want you to judge because we have already determined what we are going to do. Verse number 20. So you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We're just going to share. Whether you said we should not speak in the name of Jesus, that's for you to judge. But what we're going to do is share our testimonies. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You see, in the kingdom of God, the Bible says from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. In the kingdom of God, the kingdom citizens, they exert their rights. They speak. They declare their truth. They do not let the enemies and critics have the last say. You may highlight what is wrong with me, but I can highlight who by whose grace I am saved. Are you hearing me, somebody? You may tell me what I lack, but I'll tell you where my supply. And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You may tell me, or my bank account may tell me that I don't have anything. But I'll just tell my bank account that my supply doesn't come from that paycheck. It comes from his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So when they had further threatened them, so after they even responded, they didn't end there. They further threatened them. They let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. Verse number 22. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had happened. Had been performed, sorry. So you see the preface to verse 23. So first we see that the council was the one threatening. They were threatening two young men, a whole big group of people, threatening two young men that they should not speak. They should not do anything. Two young, untrained and uneducated men. I don't know how your level of training or your level of education. And it's irrelevant. And immaterial to the fact, because there is one who is bigger. Hallelujah. I said, the God you serve is bigger. It's bigger than any limitation you may have. is bigger than any inadequacy you may have. You may feel inadequate in yourself and feel incomplete and feel like you're not beautiful or you're not well made or well packaged. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. Because the Bible says, God, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. You are the apple of his eyes. Amen. I say, you are the apple of his eye. He has engraved your name in his hands, the palm of his hands. You are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. Complete. Complete. So verse 23, so the Bible says, I'm being let go. So these guys, even the enemy recognized that they had Jesus, that Jesus was present in their life. But when they were let go, you see what they did? They did not go to Jesus and pray. The Bible says, I'm being let go, they went to their own companions. They went to their own community and reported to the community all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So we're talking tonight about the benefits, the value of community. Hallelujah. Amen. I've just given you a preface of everything. They had Jesus. They had results. They had seen miracles. They had seen signs and wonders. They were bold. They had been delivered. But when they were delivered, they went back to their own companions. They went to their own community. And they began to tell the community what these people had said. So let's see what the community did. So when they heard that, they raised their voice. Verse 24. So when the community heard the report of these two men, of Peter and John, the community joined them and raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. So they began to invoke the God of heaven into the situation. The value of community. Never be a Christian who is just floating. You don't have a sense of belonging. You're just floating everywhere. You know, I said this on Sunday. In the kingdom of God, we are citizens. We are citizens of the kingdom. But in communities, we are members. Hallelujah. Colossians says, your citizenship is of heaven. But the Bible lets us know in the book of 1 Corinthians, say we are members. It says we are members of the body of Christ. Individually, we are members of the body. We are what? Members of the body. We are citizens of the kingdom and members of the body. The body talks about the local community. Let me give you for instance, which I said on Sunday. You may be a citizen of the United States of America, but you are a member of a local community. Let me ask you a question. Where is the United States? It's a territory, right? It's everywhere. So when you shop in the United States, right? But you don't just shop in the United States territory somewhere. Okay, good. I thought so. Okay. When you were born in the United States. So some of you were born in the United States. In fact, even if you are born in the airspace, you realize that if you are born in the airspace, as long as it's the air over the United States, you are a citizen automatically. Now you have to come down from that air and find a community and belong to it. Oh, yes, true. Yeah. Now that is a very good example I want to give you. Now, imagine a woman who is in labor in the airspace. When they are born, they look for the geographic coordinates of the place of birth. If it is the separation between Canada and the United States, they begin to find out where they're born in the, when the child was delivered, well, had they crossed the line? So then now when on the place of landing, they have to go establish a birth certificate. And that birth certificate is established in a community. The United States doesn't issue birth certificates. It's community, member of the community. So when you are born, if you are born in Tulsa, the Tulsa County Public, they give a birth certificate. If you are born in a certain hospital, any hospital that is around within the Tulsa County, guess what? They'll give you a certificate of live birth, but they'll send you to the community, to the local Tulsa County something, to get a certificate of birth. A birth certificate. That birth certificate establishes you with that community. Now, if you were born in another place, it gives you membership within that place. You are a citizen of the United States, quite all right, but you are a member of a community. The same thing with the body of Christ. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, but you are a member of a community, of a church. Membership makes you part of a church, a community of a church. But your citizenship is of heaven, but your membership is of a local body. Praise God. So what is the benefit of community? Because we're talking about the benefit of community. The first thing, as far as the benefit of community, and this is good teaching. We're teaching good. Hallelujah. Amen. The first thing is that it gives you access to support. Access to support. Say, tell your neighbor, access to support. So what kind of support are we talking about? We just saw some of it. Bible talks about prayers. Being let go, they went to their own companions and they reported what happened. The companions gathered together and prayed. Acts chapter 12, when Pharaoh stretched out his hand to harass them from the church, what happened? When Peter was arrested and locked up, the Bible says, but constant prayer was met for him by the church. So the church, beyond the faith of Peter, the church added support, community support. They began to pray. Question to you. What church was it that was praying? That's a very powerful question. It's going to help you. Now, see something. Remember that the Bible says that we are part of a family that is named not only on this earth, the family that is both on earth and in heaven. You know, the family of God, the household of God, the kingdom of God is everywhere, right? It has people both here on earth and in heaven. They are part of the kingdom. Okay? Was it the people that were in heaven that were praying? No, it wasn't. It wasn't, because why? When he was released, if you read Acts chapter 12, you read it and go, when he was released, he went to the church that the church was still praying. It was the local congregation, the place where he was a member, that's where the prayer was being done. So hold on, let me show you something. In the kingdom benefits, Bible says James was sown asunder with the sword. James was killed with the sword. Why was James killed? Because the church was not praying. He was still a citizen of heaven, and heaven was looking and seeing when he was sown asunder. Oh. I sing, yeah. Even the saints in heaven were singing. But it's because the difference between James and Peter was that the prayers, the church prayed. The community prayed. When the community prayed, when they gave additional support, there was difference. See what it says? Peter was therefore kept in prison the same way James was kept. See, oh, let's go. Let's back up verse 4. Verse 4. Go back to verse 4. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison. Why? With the intention. And delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him out before the people after the Passover, with the intention to kill him, the same way that James was killed. Then verse 5 now begins to tell us, Peter was therefore kept in prison. He was in a holding place in prison with the intention that the same faith that was meted out to James will be meted out to him. What happened? But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So the first benefit of community is access to support. One of the kind of support is what? Prayers. It could also be emotional support. It could also be financial support. It could also be social support. It could also be different kinds of support. Social support. A network of people. Support. I could show you in the Bible a lot and a lot and a lot. Access to support. You're around a number of people with, from different backgrounds. It widens your network. It widens your understanding. It widens your appreciation. The whole wealth of the community you have access to. Hallelujah. The person who can pray for 10 minutes, you have access to their prayer support. The one who can pray for 10 seconds, you have access to their 10 seconds prayers. Then the one who can pray for 1 hour, you have access to their prayers. Are you hearing me, somebody? Access to support. Number two, the second benefit of community, and my time is showing that time is up, and I've not even started. Well, I've just started. It's good. Let's just say you should come back to church. Number two, accountability. Very important. Access to support. Then accountability. Accountability. Bible says, and being let go, they went to their own companions and they reported to them. They were accountable to them. You know, sometimes what people don't realize in church is accountability. I was saved alone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It was by grace that I was saved through faith. No one should judge me. Thank God. Hallelujah. Yes, you were saved alone. But God put you part of a community so you can be accountable. Hey, Pastor, where did you see that? I could show you a lot. The Bible. Do you realize that Apostle Peter was accountable? When Peter went and preached in Acts chapter 10, he went and preached in the house of Cornelius to the Gentiles on whom the Holy Spirit was not supposed to fall. He went and preached to them and the Holy Spirit fell and he baptized them. When he came back, he had to account. He had to give accountability. He began to report to the church in Jerusalem. But people thought Peter was the first pope. That Peter was the one nobody questioned. No. When Peter came back, let me show you this. Let's go. Let's go through the Bible a little bit. I don't want to spend too much time here. Acts chapter 10. Well, yes, verse 1. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Now, mind you that this man was not born again, yet he feared God. Sometimes some of you see people who fear God and you just think they are born again. He was a giver, more generous than some people who are born again. He gave alms generously to the people and he prayed. He was also a prayer. Bible says about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he had observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he answered him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. So he will tell you what you must do. That was coming to preach salvation to him. If you read all through this Acts chapter 10, you will find out that when first Peter had a resistance about going to preach because he was a Gentile. God had to appear to him, show him a vision of eating pork. And for Jews, eating pork was a no. It was a forbidden thing. And God told him, you cannot call that which is unclean. You cannot call that unclean which God has cleaned. But let's go to Acts chapter 11, the very next chapter, because Peter went to this church, to this house, preached, the people believed, and just because God wanted to show him that it was God himself at work, while he was still preaching, because there was an order. You preach, people believe, then they baptize, then they receive the Holy Ghost. That's the order. While he was still preaching, these people received the Holy Ghost. The same way that Peter and at the day of Pentecost, while he was still preaching to them, God decided to break the protocol and gave these people the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So Peter, all his doctrine, all his knowledge, all his tribal sentiment, all his ways of feeling his superiority complex as a Jew, all of it got thrown out. That's why in verse 34, he began to recount, 34 of Acts chapter 10, he began to recount, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Another version says God is no respecter of person. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. So Peter all of a sudden came to a revelation by experience. Acts chapter 11, verse number 1. After all of this had happened, Peter went back down to Jerusalem. Now the apostles and brethren were in Judea, who were in Judea, heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him. If you go understand that word contend doesn't mean they just came to him like, oh, Apostle Peter, you know, you are the head of the church, you are the one who has the keys of the church. No, it was not that. It was strife. It was, what kind of person, what kind of Jewish person are you? You go to the house of a Gentile and we hear this? Have you backslidden so early? So early. They contended with Peter. So if Peter was the head of the church, Peter would have just come and said, hey, shut up. Keep quiet. No, they contended. They questioned him. Verse number 3, let me show you this. This will help you. Saying, see what they were saying. I was talking as if I'd read this. I'd not been read this for a while. Saying, you went into and circumcised men and ate with them. What have been contending that they received the Holy Ghost? It started first from eating, from food. You shouldn't even eat with them. You went and ate with them. But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet. So, of course, you can read all of that. So he began to recount his experience. But he goes to verse 17, he says this. I just want to read this so you can see. After he had explained the whole, narrated the whole thing, he went to verse 17. He says, if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? So Peter is saying, when I went, I did not even believe in what they believe. I didn't even want to do it. But I saw that God bypassed me, my doctrine, my training, my biases, my isms, and he gave it to them the same way that he did with us. So if God did it, who was I to withstand God? I love the Bible. Verse 18. When they heard these things, they became silent. And they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. So what was I saying? I said, number two, the second benefit of community is accountability. Sometimes you may have some contentions. Sometimes you may say, I don't like the way Pastor Blaise talks. I don't like the way he looked at me. I don't like the way he spoke to me. Because, well, no, it's not Pastor Blaise. Pastor Blaise is cool. I don't like the way that lady looked at me, you know. Just community, accountability. Community holds you accountable. The same way Peter was held accountable. You could be misjudged. You could even be judged rightly. If anyone has a fault against a brethren, go to them and talk to them. If they will not receive you, take one or two of the church and go talk to them. If they will not receive, tell it to the whole church. That's called accountability. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, what has happened sometimes to believers is they begin to say, you know, the Bible says the Spirit blows wherever it wills, and no one knows where it comes from and where it goes. So too it is with everyone who is born again. So, Pastor, don't hold me down to anything, you know. Accountability. Sister, I didn't see you in church on Sunday. What happened? We haven't seen you for a while. Are you all right? I thought you told me you and this guy broke up. I'm beginning to see you again together. It's accountability. I thought you said God saved you from smoking. Now what I'm seeing you again with cigarettes. Are you going to? That's called accountability. It's not judgment. Sister, the way you're dressing is seductive. The pastor don't talk about dress. God saved us from dress. I know. Go to the Bible. The Bible talks about the attire of a harlot. Amen. No, you see, dressing doesn't save you. But when you are saved, there's a certain decency. Let everything be done with decency and order. Amen. We begin to see your brother hanging with this girl. You're not saying nothing. Brother, you're wasting this girl's time. You are occupying her precious. You know there's some brothers who are around you. Come, Sister Grace, let me use you. Let me show. This is accountability. Of course, Grace is my daughter. I can do this. So you are there. This girl is single. And what you're doing is you are taking space. You are blocking other brothers from talking to her. And yet you are not talking. Are you hearing me, somebody? So when we begin to see you for a while, we begin to ask, brother, what is going on between you two? That's called accountability. Is there nothing? Then, okay, give space. So that why there could be a signal to other people. Am I speaking? Hallelujah. It's called accountability. The way you guys are close, it gives room for sin. Are you hearing me, somebody? The way you guys are, it gives room for sin. We just flow in the spirit. I'm telling you something I've heard. Somebody said we flow. We'll stop that flow. Let's just stop the flow now. Don't flow. We'll stop the flow. The Bible says, flee youthful lust. Thank you, sister. Flee youthful lust and temptation. Amen. Accountability. It's just two. I have about 7 benefits I want to give you. I have to send them with 2. Accountability. The last time you borrowed money from this, you have not paid. Sister, now they have told me. It's called accountability. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Imagine, sister, that I don't know your condition. I come to you, take $200. And I'm just looking because you're dressing so good. I just assume. You haven't even told me that it was a gift. It was a loan that I came to. Accountability means that if I'm hurting somebody, you know, the church can come in, the community can come in and intervene. Or at least elders in the community can come in and say, hey, this situation, it is not that we are shaming you. It is that we're trying to address the issue. What is the matter? It's called accountability. That's the value of community. That's the benefit of community. It establishes accountability. The first thing it gives you access to, it gives you access to support or access to resources. Second thing, it gives you accountability. It helps you establish accountability. It helps you not to fall. Let him who stands take heed lest he falls. Helps you. Amen. I'll give you number 3, but we'll leave it here. They've been telling me my time is up since. So accountability means that there is a, you know, community. There's a time. Pastor himself is accountable. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you get something out of this service tonight? The value of community. The church as a community. Then the benefits of community. There are many benefits to community. That's what we're talking about. And that's why, as we talk about fellowship centers, it is to help you go more to micro levels. And we are here, we just see, hey, sister, it's good to see you. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you, brother. But when you go to a micro level where you are 10, where you are 5, now all of a sudden people begin to know you a little bit more. They begin to hold you a little bit more accountable. They begin to be a little more support to you. Like I was sick, I didn't know you were dealing with this issue. Begin to pray for you. Begin to give you a little more support. Hey, sister, you know, I've been saying, I didn't know that this was an issue. I didn't know. I thought you were dressing this way, and I just thought that maybe you were just being, you know, vulgar, and you just wanted to dress yourself. But I didn't know that, you know, you don't have clothes. So, let's go. Not true. Oh, you don't realize that there are some people who are wearing just what they have. So, sometimes you judge from a distance, but when you go a little closer, you'll find out that they are dealing with a reference that they have. I don't want to talk anymore because we're closing on time. But I remember there was a sister who was here, or an individual. You know, when some people just migrate for the first time, they don't realize it. They deal with it because you change environment, you change food types and everything. And clothing type too, start dealing with sometimes unusual body odor. They don't know. And sometimes you could see it, and it's like, oh, I don't want to sit near this person because I don't like their body odor and everything. The value of community. And because we're in church, sometimes we have so much superficial relationships. I don't want to tell you. So what happens is we start avoiding you. You come, usher says, sit here. Like, no, I like to sit behind there. Because everybody's staying away from you. But community means that sometimes somebody's going to laugh a little bit and come and say, sister, have you noticed? In a very smart way, have you noticed this? Yeah. I could tell you very practical ways. You know, sometimes when you deal with clothes that are more, the fabric is more nylon, and then you sweat, you perspire a lot. There is it entraps heat and sweat, and sometimes there is odor that generates from that. And you, because you are used to your body scent, everybody has a body scent. If you're married, you know, no. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Oh, that's what dogs, all these dogs, they are trained to pick up scent. A dog can trace an owner just by being around you. A dog can know you. You can go somewhere, they can trace you just by scent, your scent. When they want a dog to find somebody, what they do, they take a piece of the person's clothing. They train and then release. And let's not talk about all of that. But you see, that's the value of community. And somebody can call you and say, hey, this. And I've had to do that. I had to do that multiple times. Praise God. Hallelujah. So community means that you too have to do it sometimes. Let's just start. Notice your hair is not met. I know we're praying. Oh, you know, Pastor Blaise is very practical, right? I know we've been praying. Oh God, send a husband, send a husband. Sister, the way your hair is, it can be a distraction to a guy. Oh yes. If somebody didn't tell you, let your pastor help you preach it from the pulpit. If somebody didn't tell you, amen. Rise to your feet, let's close. Brother, the way you are, has ever occurred to you why, when you talk, they smile, they tell you, they love you as a brother, but not as a sister. God is good, amen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't you just love the Lord? You see, this is the true beauty and the value of community. In community, there's love. In community, there is access to support. In community, there's accountability. In community, there's connection. In community, there's inspiration. In community, you are helped to be yourself. To be the best version of you. Not to be like another person. Just to be you. Your individuality is celebrated. Hallelujah. Amen. Community can learn from one another. We can grow together into the beautiful family of God. Just lift up your voice and thank God for community.